The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast, Dr. Taz.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Taz, and this is my podcast. Joining me today, we are going to talk hormones. Dr. Liz Lester is a women's midlife health expert. Through her compassionate patient care, her humorous writings, and her medical expertise, Dr. Liz helps women and men balance hormones, lose their weight, and regain health and vitality in their lives. Welcome, Dr. Liz.
Thank you, Dr. Taz. I'm very excited to be here with you.
I am honored and I absolutely appreciate it. We really want our listeners to be their best selves. And a part of that is understanding all of this confusion around hormones. And I know, as you do, that many times in the exam room, you know, a patient will come in and have a list of different symptoms, but those symptoms are essentially tied back to a hormone imbalance. And I know you see this as well. What are some of the things that we need to be thinking about when we think about symptoms that really the root is a hormonal issue, it's not anything else?
Yeah, exactly. And it changes over time, obviously, as we get older. Adolescents go through hormonal changes. And then things settle down a little bit in our 20s. And then in our 30s, already things start to change. And the hormones that our bodies produce might not be made in the same optimal quantities. And that can then continue into our 40s, and then after that, women go through menopause where there's a lot of hormonal changes that are more obvious. For men, it's not as obvious, but it's still happening. There's sort of a steady decline of a lot of different hormones, as you know, and these can lead to symptoms such as sleep disruption, weight gain, even mood changes. Sometimes people,
definitely,
they'll know they're not depressed, but when they go to a regular doctor,
I think that it's really important for people to understand that anytime they're having a shift, you know, and if it's a shift in energy, a shift in sleep, a shift in weight, a shift in your mood, you know, before it impacts your work and your relationships and all those other, you know, so essential, sacred things in our lives, it's important to at least think about hormones and maybe have them checked. You know, how do you maybe check hormones? How do you recommend that, you know, women and men get their hormones checked? What should they, what type of discussion should they be having with their physicians? You know, because so many times what I experience with my patients is that they try to do their due diligence. You know, first there's just general awareness about what's going on with you. And then once you realize that something might be wrong, you do kind of the dutiful trips to the doctor only to kind of get the quote unquote, everything is fine. You know, you're okay. So how does the patient navigate that you're fine conversation? I mean, I think that's a classic line that the majority of people leave the doctor's office with.
Absolutely, especially the patients that come to me, Dr. Taz, they've been told by someone everything's fine, and I hold up air quotes when I say that. The first place that I start is with a very detailed panel of blood work. I start with blood work simply because it's usually covered by patient's insurance, those who have insurance. That's just an easy place to start, but I do a lot more testing than most doctors. That's the first part. And the second part of that is interpreting the labs, not for what's just barely in the range, but what's in an optimal place. That's where I start.
And that in itself is very different from most physicians, because most people, most doctors are fine if you're just in that range, but not really taking the time to understand what a normal hormone level is for you versus for their neighbor or for somebody else. And I think that's really important to lock down on, that we are each unique and we are each individuals. And a normal estrogen level for me is going to be different than a normal estrogen level for you. But we can definitely, tracking, understand when somebody is getting thrown off. And speaking of estrogen, I think there's a lot of confusion about estrogen. What's your stance on estrogen and the role of estrogen in female hormones? And does estrogen cause cancer? Does it not cause cancer? Does it keep us youthful forever? Does it not? What do we do about estrogen?
It is a very confusing topic nowadays, and the confusion comes mostly from the media, where scary headlines are what gets people's attention. So the bottom line is estrogen does not increase the risk of breast cancer. It sounds shocking and counter to what's out there, but that's actually what the scientific data shows.
Okay, I'm going to stop you because I want everyone to hear that. Sure. It's just constant confusion. Estrogen does not cause or does not increase cancer.
Correct. That's exactly right. In particular, it does not increase the risk of breast cancer. Okay? If a woman has her uterus, then back in the 70s, estrogen was considered the fountain of youth hormone, and women were given estrogen without progesterone to balance it, and they did develop precancer and cancer in their uterine lining. However, we now know that that's easily prevented in women who have a uterus. When they use estrogen, they need to use progesterone as well. The big scare is the breast cancer, and that's right, where the scientific data is very supportive. There are huge studies, both in the United States, the American major study that got hormones into hot water back in the around the year to early 2000 when that data first started coming out, and since then in Europe, it's been shown that it's the synthetic progestin that does contribute a small increase in risk of breast cancer, but not the estrogen.
That is fascinating. And again, I know this because I live and breathe this stuff, but for the majority of my listeners and my patients, what they remember or what they have locked into their head is that it's actually estrogen, not the progestin. So it's the progestin that really truly increases the risk of breast cancer over the other hormones, correct?
That's exactly right. It was really go ahead.
No, I mean, I'm just, you know, just in thinking through this too, and I don't know, we've seen this some in practice. I don't know if you've seen it, but another hormone that, you know, right now a lot of doctors are not testing for, you might be, but the androgens, because progestin is essentially an androgen, and it's interesting to me that a lot of breast cancer is not, again, it's not estrogen-based, it's androgen-based, which is kind of a male derivative hormone, and we may be thinking about breast cancer completely wrong to begin with, you know, and really need to be
That's
thinking
right.
more about where the androgens are and not so focused on where estrogen is. What's your advice then to women once we can establish that it's not estrogen that's really the problem? What's your advice to women? Like, what do you do about hormone replacement? When do you do it? What's the best? Do you do bioidentical? Do you do a patch? Do you do a pill? Kind of where do you land in that whole debate?
First of all, thank you for asking that question. I love that question. Here's where I land. I don't want women to tolerate not feeling well. That's my biggest passionate commitment, is that people not be afraid of doing what they need to do to feel their best. That's my starting point.
Oh my gosh. I wish I could hug you over the microphone here.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel the same way. There's no reason for women... I mean, it's just sad to me. I mean, there's absolutely no reason for women to suffer through anything. And then the saddest part of all is the effect of that on their relationships and on the things that they're really meant to do. I mean, I've seen marriages break, as I'm sure you have, over these things, you know, or not being able to perform at work because, you know, because your cognitive function is going, because your hormones are declining. I mean, there's no reason for these things to happen. But I interrupted you, so I'm going to let you finish what you started to say.
No problem. I know. We're definitely kindred spirits, that's for sure.
So, once a woman... go ahead.
I was going to say that from that... actually, I want to pick up on what you said real quickly and just repeat what you said about the collateral damage. When women don't feel well, everybody knows this. But we as women we forget that we have to put our own oxygen mask on first, okay, before we can help other people.
I love that. So, okay, if we finally identify that we need help, we need hormonal help, excuse me, do you have a favorite? Do you, for all my listeners out there, what would you tell them? Would you tell them always go bioidentical? Would you tell them pill over patch, patch over pill? Is there any kind of blanket statement you could make, or is it really needed to be tailored to each person?
Okay, there are three statements I want to make. Number one is, it's completely safe to use any of these on a short-term basis. Nobody has any problem with that, all right? Doesn't matter about family history. I have tons to say about that, but, you know, when we have time, we can do that another time, talk about epigenetics and all of that. But for now, we can just say that even the American College of OBGYN is fine with short-term use of hormones. Okay, so that's step number one. Then there are two statements I want to emphasize. Number one, estrogen is best used, and I pretty much only use it with my patients, through the skin.
So topical estrogens. Okay.
Exactly. Patch, gels, even the hormone pellets, they're in the skin. So that's okay. Anything other than by mouth. Estrogen by mouth stimulates the liver, which increases the production of clotting factors. And there are other side effects that can come from that. Thickening of the blood, heart attacks, blood clots, that type of thing, which we don't want. Okay?
Got it. So estrogen, go ahead.
Estrogen, not by mouth.
The other, not by mouth.
Yeah. And the other important statement is that the progesterone, to balance it, has to be bioidentical. This is one where it does make a difference. Bioidentical is usually better than not bioidentical. All right. So whether it's made in a laboratory or wherever it's made, what matters is how similar is the molecule to what our bodies make. Now, with progesterone, it's super critical. This is the difference between increasing the risk of breast cancer or not.
Bioidentical progesterone is critical, and that can be in a pill or topical. It can be either way.
Yeah, that can be oral. It can be topical. In fact, there's an over-the-counter progesterone cream in a lot of health food stores. And I often have women start with that because you can just take a little bit and dab it on and see how you feel. Progesterone calms the brain and helps with sleep. So a lot of women out there that are, probably men could also have this benefit too, but for sure a lot of women with sleep issues being given the sleeping pills, which we know aren't good for us, but they're being given that Band-Aid instead of addressing the underlying cause, which is progesterone is the first hormone that starts to decline when we're in our 30s.
And that progesterone, like, you know, when any physician writes a prescription for progesterone and the patient takes it to the pharmacy, a regular pharmacy, are they getting a bioidentical progesterone or are they getting a synthetic progesterone?
If the doctor, okay, this is kind of a funny thing that I'm happy about. If the doctor writes out the word progesterone, the patient is going to get a bioidentical product. There's one pharmaceutically made progesterone, and if the doctor writes that out, she will actually get a bioidentical progesterone. The difference between that and something made by a compounding pharmacy is the way it's metabolized in the body. Sometimes women get an additional benefit from a compounded progesterone as opposed to the kind that is pharmaceutically made, and they will get a bigger benefit for helping calm the brain, calm anxiety, help with sleep. All of those benefits from progesterone might be more likely with a compounded product. So I usually start there. However, this is an example of where the tail has wagged the dog really well, and women are asking for progesterone and they're getting progesterone.
Gotcha. So your pick, your first pick is a compounded progesterone over even just a conventionally written progesterone, correct?
Correct. That is usually my first pick. Even the over-the-counter. For progesterone, I can even have women, they can try it. Women do that all the time because they have doctors who aren't listening to what they're saying and they're looking for natural solutions, and they'll go to a health food store and they'll see a progesterone cream and they'll try it. And it'll help for a period of time, which is fantastic. By the time women get to me, usually sleep is really disrupted. They're really having a lot of symptoms. They're having mood changes. They're having loss of sex drive, which, of course, happens when women don't get good sleep, et cetera.
It's all connected. All connected. So listeners, I hope I hope, hopefully, my listeners have taken away from this at least how so many different symptoms are hormonally based and how estrogen is not really the player in breast cancer. It's progestin. I think that's the kind of the take-home message here.
Yes.
And how hormone replacement is an option if you're just not doing well. None of us want women suffering and not being able to be who they really are meant to be. Dr. Liz, thank you so much for taking the time to join us and talk us through some of these very confusing topics. If you want to follow Dr. Liz, her Twitter handle, she's at Dr. Liz Lister. That's L-Y-S-T-E-R. She's also on Pinterest and on YouTube at The Dr. Liz Lister. And Dr. Liz, before I let you go, I try to make every guest leave my listeners with the one or two things women really need to be the best or the most optimal superwomen they can be.
I want to repeat that I just don't tolerate not feeling great. Do what you need
to do. I love that.
Yeah.
Don't tolerate not feeling great. That is a great way to end this. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I really appreciate it. And we'll have to have you back on and maybe dig a little bit deeper into some of the other hormones as well.
That'll be fantastic. Lots to talk about. Thank you so much. Thanks for your podcast and everything that you do for people.
Oh, you're welcome. Welcome. We'll talk soon.
Wonderful. Thanks.